Wasn't that a nice offertory this morning? I'd like for you to turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Jesus had been invited by a Pharisee to come eat with him. And there were several other people who had come in and were eating. And I'd like to share a story that Jesus told to one of the people who were there at that meal. It's found in Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 23. 16 through 23. Luke chapter 14. Man, ask him about eating with a Pharisee. Then said he, that's Jesus, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden to come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought a yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done, as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out unto the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Father, we have just read your word, and these are words that Jesus spoke when he ministered here upon the earth. May your Holy Spirit show us to rightly divide your word of truth. And Father, may we make application as you would have us do so. And we will praise you, Father, for what you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Next week, we're going to have some special meetings here. We've not had special services in several years. Jesus, during his ministry, gave us an example to emulate. He used sort of a parable or a story to teach an important truth. And the parable was about a certain man making a great supper. Actually, the parable could be about the marriage supper of the Lamb. God has prepared for the sins of the whole world. He sent his Son to come and bleed to death, that the entire world might be saved. And all of those who are willing to accept what Jesus did in a way of shedding his blood for our sins, all of those will be, have been invited to and will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. None of us are going to refuse. We don't want to. We want to be there. I want to be there. Since next week is going to be special, I'd like for us to spend a little time thinking about the opportunities that we have to interact with some of the people that we know that the Lord has placed in our lives. It may be loved ones, it may be neighbors, it may be friends. But I'd like for us to take a little bit of time and think about them and think about our service to God. There is no one sitting here this morning who does not owe service to God. You do owe service of some sort. There The main reason that many churches will be watching the Super Bowl tonight rather than having church is because they don't really know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The church is a social club, and it's become even more of one tonight when I put up the big screen TV and bring in the sandwiches and the chips. And I'm talking you into going to another church tonight, aren't I? No, we're going to study about Book of Revelation, chapter 9. This is, you know, sometimes I see the opportunities God puts out in front of me, and I don't always take advantage of them. I don't always do what I'm supposed to do. I would like for you to think back to a time before you were saved. I remember before I was saved, I was over 20. The reason I didn't go to church was that I didn't feel comfortable there. Oh, there were churches I could go to where I felt perfectly comfortable. But in this particular case, many of the churches objected to some of the things that I was doing. They didn't like me smoking or drinking or running around, and they made me feel uncomfortable because they talked about it, so I didn't go there. Because I didn't want to feel uncomfortable. Now, I, at that time, did not know who the Holy Spirit was. I'd never really had any interaction with Him that I knew about or understood. I didn't understand spiritual things. And I didn't want to. I had no desire to. It wasn't important to me. I had my own life to live. Maybe some of you felt that same way. Maybe some of you felt that you didn't want to go to a church that preached the Bible or told us what God's Word was. And so, come on in. We'll give Sandra, Melissa, a chance to get seated. But I didn't want to go to a church like that. There was a word in that story that I just read to you from Scripture, chapter 14 of Luke, and it was in the very last verse where the Lord said, in verse 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. And I want to center on that word, compel them to come in. Because this coming week, next week, Sunday, there is something very special going to occur here. Something that can affect the life and the soul of every single individual that you and I know. And I would use the same word as you think about the various people that you know that God has put in your life. I would ask that you might compel them to come with you next week while Mike Schrock is here, that they might hear the gospel, that they might hear the truth of God's word, because at some time you did and you responded to it. You opened your heart. You believed in your mind that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that He did die for your sin, and you Let the Holy Spirit cause you to be born again. And there may be somebody in your life who has not been born again, and they have seemed to resist it for the very same reason I just shared with you why I didn't go to church. They were uncomfortable there because they knew in their heart they weren't what God wanted them to be. And so we think about this word compel. It only appears 4 times in the Bible. In the King James. Now, there are various ways that we can compel people to come to church with us. We can provide a meal. That works almost every time. People will come for a meal, that they figure they, you know, they're getting their money's worth. It's not costing them anything. There's coffee and donuts in the morning, but that's not why we come, but that's a way to compel people to come. But that word compel is an interesting word. It means to carry a letter. That's actually what it means. It goes back to the necessity. One of the places where compel is used, or one of the 4 places in the New Testament, was when Jesus was on his way to Golgotha. And they cornered Simon, and they compelled him to carry the cross. Now that tells me that word compel has different not motives, but a person can be compelled in different ways. Love can compel. It can compel all of us to tell somebody about Jesus, to plead with them, to come and receive him as Savior. If you go to a car dealer, the salesman's going to try and compel you to buy a car. And he's going to want you to add a lot of whistles and bells to it. But I think Simon carried that cross because he had been compelled, and fear was the motivating factor. He was afraid not to. There was the soldiers who were telling him he had to do that. And they did bad things to people if they didn't obey them. So, Jesus said to compel people to come into the meal he'd fixed. God has prepared a meal for you and I. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And one day we will sit down to that supper. I have no idea what it will be, but it will be special. Each one of us will enjoy it because we will be experiencing a new relationship with Jesus Christ. New place, new time. Time will be eternity. So why not compel others to join us? Now, those of you who have experienced marriage, that word compel is not used in the second chapter of Genesis when it talks about Eve accepting the serpent's temptation and giving the forbidden fruit to Adam. But Eve somehow compelled Adam to eat. She didn't use tears. There have been times where ladies have used tears to compel a man to do something that he really didn't want to do or didn't care to do, and they have been very successful that way. Some of you are chuckling because you may have done that at one time in your life or another. But I would like for you to think about compelling somebody to come with you next week. Somebody who would be special to you in order to expose them to some discomfort. I remember how uncomfortable I would be in a real church. Tim talked about real churches this morning. Why? I want us to think about this story that Jesus told this man a little bit. Why was this great man preparing this lavish meal for these people? Was it to benefit him? I don't believe he was a used car salesman. I believe he was a man wanting to share his grace with people. People who he wanted to bless. I believe that was the whole purpose of his preparing that meal, was to be a blessing to all of those people. The people who bought the land, the people who bought the yoke of oxen, the man who had just gotten married. His wife was probably also involved. He wanted to share a blessing with them, and they refused. Folks, this is a perfect picture of God extending an invitation to mankind to be saved, to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And most of the world has refused. That brings a question to us, and the question that I want to ask this morning, is there someone that you know, someone who is a part of your life, that you need to compel to come with you to those special services next week in order to expose them to the Holy Spirit? That they might earn through the grace of God, not by work that they're doing, but by God's grace, that He can give them eternal life and they can be a part of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, I can tell you one thing about church and lost people. They normally don't come on their own. They don't want anything to do with the church. But God wants you to bring that lost person. How will you persuade them? How will you compel them to come? 2 Corinthians 5:11 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Will your conscience be pure at the end of the special services that you did what you were supposed to do, what God wanted you to do with the time you have between now and next Wednesday night? We're to look ahead. We're to look ahead and see what God would have us to do. And I want to tell you some truth from the Bible. It does not matter to me. I can't force you to do anything. It is going to be entirely up to God and the Holy Spirit as to what you do between now and next Sunday. Entirely up to the Holy Spirit and to God. But there will be a day when each one of us will stand before Jesus face to face. It's called the Bema Seat Judgment. It occurs when you leave this life. And in Jude 1, 14 and 15, it says, and Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him, being Jesus. You and I do have responsibility for the people around us. God has put them in our lives for a reason. And it is going to be up to us to do what God wants us to do regarding those people. Are we going to be able to compel them to come next week? Because there will be a day when they will have to stand before Jesus too. It's called the Great White Judgment. Great White Throne Judgment. And at that point, we're going to be present. I've already got enough people with me. I can only speak for myself. I cannot speak for you. And I will not try to. But I've already got enough people, when I'm standing there and Jesus is judging them for their deeds, I don't want them turning around and looking at me and saying, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you compel me? Why didn't you show me how important this was? Because now I don't have a chance. I'm going to spend eternity in torment in the lake of fire. I don't want anybody that I love to do that. And that love for that person should compel me. To do whatever I can. To get them under the sound of the gospel. So they can hear the truth. So that the Holy Spirit can have an opportunity to bring conviction. And one more time, at least one more time, they can decide, do I want that or do I want to reject it? But you will not have to be guilty or feel guilty about it. And when they stand at that great white throne judgment and turn around to look at you, you'll be able to say, I told you. I got you there. It was your choice to make, not mine. Folks, it is so important that we compel people. I can remember 40, 50 years ago when people would be compelled to come to special meetings. And I can remember how they were affected by that and the outcome. The changes, the difference that it would make in their life. If you think back to the person who led you to Jesus Christ, there's a special place in your heart for them. And that person that you compel to come to those services, if they receive Jesus Christ during that time, there will be a special place and love in their heart for you. We all want to be loved. We all want people to love us for the right reason. Not because we've left them alone. We haven't bugged them. We haven't compelled them to do something they don't want to do. I can tell you right now, there are people in your life who do not want to darken the door of that church, this church. Because they will be uncomfortable when they come in. And there's a reason for that. It's called a guilty conscience. A guilty conscience. And there is only one way to get rid of that. I can tell you, people try all kinds of ways to get rid of it. They try alcohol, they try drugs, they try entertainment, they try anything they can, music, whatever, that will take their mind off from that guilty conscience. But it is going to still be there. God made us that way. And there is an opportunity coming up next week to bring them with you, to compel them to come in, that God's Holy Spirit can minister to them. Now, they may not know some truths from the Bible. And I'm going to give you a few verses right now. The verses that should cause you to compel them to come in. The first one is from Romans 6:23, and you all know it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Folks, that's what they're facing. We should know that. We should know that. Because one day we face that. This little word, compel, it's actually Chalde in origin. It's not Greek, it's not Hebrew, it's Chalde. And it comes from Persia. It means to be forced to carry something. Mark 15:21, and they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian. He was compelled to carry the cross of Christ. If you will compel someone to come, they are going to bring with them their soul. They're alive. They have spirit. They have body. They have soul. And if they are sinners, what does this tell us? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. They are coming with a dead soul. And this is a chance for them to get the biggest gift they have ever gotten in their entire life. New life for their soul. And that's what they need. That's a gift that God wants to give them through you. You get them here, He'll do the work. I guess what it really boils down to is this, and I have given a lot of thought to this. Do we, and I'm including all of us that are here in this room this morning, do we really believe the Bible? All of it. Do we really believe it? Because I'm going to take you to the third chapter of John, which is a very familiar chapter to all of us, I believe. Let me just read a few verses. John 3:3-7. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Nicodemus had come to Jesus at night. He was ashamed of Jesus. He was ashamed to be seen coming to Jesus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a leader of the Jews. He was a leader of the religion of the day. He came at night so nobody would see him, so he wouldn't be ashamed. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. If you truly love someone, will you be content to let their soul go to hell and then the lake of fire for all of eternity? If you really believe the Bible, that's what the Bible says is going to happen to them. Is that not enough to compel them to come to these special services? Folks, hell is going to be a miserable place. It's not going to be a party. There's not going to be any enjoyment there whatsoever. There's not going to be any happiness there. There's only going to be misery. And it is a job that God has given every one of us. We are to compel the people that we know, that we love, who are lost, to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now we know that it's God's will that everyone be saved. That is His will. And He knows everyone's not going to be saved, but it is His will that everyone be saved. Everybody that you know, friend, loved one, neighbor, it is God's will that they be saved. You will be doing God's will in an attempt to get them here, to get them under the sound of the gospel. You will be doing God's will. 2 Peter talks about it. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord Jesus, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the will of God. There is no other will. The last word in the verse from 2 Peter is a key to everybody's relationship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is the event that makes it possible to have a right relationship with the Lord. I want you to think about this. Perhaps pride keeps our loved one from a relationship with God. Perhaps pride keeps our loved one from a relationship with God. Perhaps our pride keeps us from seeming earnest in our relationship and concern for the soul of our loved one. Perhaps our pride. They see it in us. They feel they don't need to worry about it. It's okay. If it's okay in us and we're a Christian, it's okay in them. It doesn't work that way. Perhaps we need to be doing some repenting. Perhaps you and I need to be doing some repenting about our relationship with that loved one, that neighbor, that friend. We need to repent that we have not done more or done what God wanted us to do. We need to repent of that. And there's still time to do that. Because if we will repent, then we can go ask God to do what He needs to do to get them here. We don't often think about that, but we need to be. It might be that if that person, that other person, that lost person, sees us repent in sincerity over our love for them and our love for Jesus Christ, that might be the influence that we need to change things. Yes, before we can have a spiritual influence in someone else's life, we may need to get some things fixed in our own. As of right now, each of us have just 1 week to get things settled with God regarding our own life. Did you ever consider the eternal destiny of someone else's soul might depend upon your relationship to God? It might depend upon your relationship to God. Could your pride be the obstacle to someone you know that keeps them from giving their heart to the Lord? Only you can decide if your pride is someone else's obstacle, separating them from God. Only you can decide if your pride is the obstacle separating someone else from God. Father, we can do nothing. Father, we can't fix hearts. We can't touch hearts. But you can. And Father, each one of us has people in our lives whose hearts need touching, whose hearts need fixing. And so, Father, we would ask this morning, time is getting short. Help us. Help us to make sure that our life is right with Thee, that You can use us to reach out to others and touch their hearts. Thank You, Father, for all that You're going to do. We ask that You will help us to be submissive to Your will, to Your Holy Spirit, and may Your will be done in this week to come. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.